Yo, hey guys, David here from Rapid QS. So not sure if you guys saw last night, we released our second podcast with a local builder down here in Tauranga. We're back this week, so we had a pretty early start to the day. Got in at like 7:30 in the morning. Brendan, the man behind the camera, picked me up and we're just down in Tauranga now. Classic. That slight interruption, that was actually the guy we're going to meet. So we're just down here in Tauranga today, catching up with Troy at Davey Construction. They've been doing quite a bit of social media work. We would have reached out maybe before Christmas last year. And so we just agreed a time and a day. So we're going to come around here now, go check out one of his jobs that they have got in construction at the moment or nearing completion. And then we're going to go sit down with him for 35, 45 minutes, have a chinwag around how he's run his business, challenges he's overcome, problems he's faced, what his goals are, and we'll try to find out if he's got any hobbies outside of building, because most of you nutcases don't. So yeah, stay tuned for this one, and thanks very much for watching. Hey guys, David here from Rapid QS. We're here with Troy Davey from Davey's Construction down in the beautiful Mount Maunganui. We've just been around one of his jobs, went and got a iced coffee. You've actually got cream in yours.
I do.
You said you're on a calorie deficit. What's going on there? So we've spent about an hour with Troy, and yeah, we're just going to unpack his business a bit, how he's got to where he is, and what he's doing. Thanks very much, mate, for coming on. Much appreciated.
No problem, man.
Good to spend some time with you, bro.
Good to have you down here.
See the boys, get on the coffees. Yeah. I must ask, the logo, it comes from the windows, eh? The beautiful windows in the background.
Yeah, the windows match it. Yeah. That's why we've done it.
Nice, man. Obviously, last name Davey, correct. Davey's Construction.
Yeah.
Didn't get too creative there, just came up with it.
When I was looking for a name for the company, I was trying not to have my name in there.
Yeah.
And we tried a couple of things and they were already taken.
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, fuck it. At the end of the day, my name goes on it. If we do a shit job, it's my name on it.
Yeah.
When we do a good job, it's my name on it.
100%, so. Man. I suppose nowadays you've got ChatGPT, so you could probably punch that in and get fucking 100 different names of what you want.
Wasn't around when I started.
Yeah. Well, you still look pretty young, mate.
I feel it.
Yeah. What was your path from leaving school, construction? What topics were you good at school? Did you do carpentry? Give us a rundown from sort of, I don't know, 16, 18 to 24.
So, PE was definitely my best subject.
Nice.
I was always going to be a rugby player.
Cool.
That was my ambition. I was training hard for that.
Did you have a team in mind, dream team?
I played New Zealand 19s, New Zealand schoolboys when I was younger.
Yeah.
Chiefs, Colts at that stage. And then I was contracted out of for the Bay of Plenty Steamers straight out of school.
Sweet.
And then when I was 20, I paralysed my shoulder plane. So
fuck.
Yeah.
Not the first to hear that kind of story going on.
Yeah. But hey, hindsight, I was gutted because, hey, I might not have gone any further and that might have been it. But I sort of didn't really get the chance to have more of a crack. But in saying that, I wouldn't take anything back either.
Mm.
I went to England and met a heap of cool people and did things I probably wouldn't have done if I stayed in New Zealand. So,
do you feel like you would, say for example, if rugby did go right, you'd be in your position with your business now, maybe? Maybe not?
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
So no, not at all.
Everything's good in
the 100%. There's, you know, things don't work out, but something else.
Yeah. One door closed, another couple open, eh?
Yeah, exactly right.
Your London experience, was that after apprenticeship, once you qualified? How
did that work? When I finished school, I went to Polytech for a year and did my pre-trade.
Yep.
And then I started building for about probably 6 months. And it was hard on my boss because I was trying to train in the mornings, go to work, come home, train. I probably wasn't putting everything into building like I should have.
Yeah.
So I did about 6 months and then I went and worked for my dad who was a fencing contractor.
Yeah, cool.
So I could take the time off to train, do what I needed to do.
Mm.
I got paid for the hours as it works. So.
Yeah, sweet. Father being farming background, correct?
Yeah, correct.
Did some fencing, tools, hands-on.
Dairy farmer and then fencing contractor.
Yeah. So. How did building sort of come about? Would you say it was your old man that pushed you into it or did someone give you a direction?
No, I suppose I've always worked with my hands.
Yeah.
I'm Yeah, I'm a builder.
Yeah, sweet.
I'm a front row forward.
Yeah, nice, man. You're a hard worker.
I'm not the cleverest knife in the drawer, you might say.
Yeah.
But it was something I wanted to do, but I wouldn't say I was really, really passionate about it, because at the time everything was going into rugby, but I knew I had to have something behind me in case I did get injured.
Yeah, for sure, man. So. Yeah, that's a killer.
Yeah.
So you did the Polytech stuff, did some fencing. Did you pick up an apprenticeship straight away? How did that work with your first full-time job?
I picked up a job straight away. He told me, my boss at the time, I was going to have to start working Saturdays to get an apprenticeship with him. So that wasn't going to work for me, because obviously I was going to play rugby and that was what I was going to do. So that was my first and foremost.
Yep.
So I did about 6 months building, and it just became the easy option for me that I was going to chase rugby while I was still young and I could.
Yep. How'd you get your first job? Door knock, family friend?
No, the Polytech.
Oh, they...
The Polytech actually...
Helps us
get you... They help put you into it. Yeah. So...
Geez, what was the minimum wage back then? Training wage?
Jesus, no, I think
probably about the same as this coffee.
I started on about $8. Yeah, it would be similar to the Americano we just bought.
I think I paid $7.50 for that, so you're pretty right.
Yeah. So not a lot.
Yeah, cool. And how long did your apprenticeship take at that time to get finished?
So say then I went fencing, went to England after I hurt myself.
Okay, cool.
And then when I came back, I already had a job to come back to.
Nice.
One of my mates at the time had just started up a company, and so I went and worked for them.
Cool.
So I think it took me, by memory, it was just over 3 years to do my apprenticeship.
Yeah. And I won't say back in those days, because it makes you sound old, but was that like paperwork and practical at the same time, or did you do all your papers at Polytech and then it was just practical?
Yeah, Polytech helped.
Okay.
So it was a bit of both, but a lot of those units were signed off.
Okay, cool. So you would say maybe 70% was done at Polytech?
Yeah, paperwork side, yeah.
Yeah, nice, nice. So your mate was your boss sort of at the time.
Yeah.
Did he have to help sign stuff off, give you the right work units to do? Yeah.
So I was probably pretty lucky, because they're doing a big variety of work.
Yes, sweet.
They did renovations, they did new builds, they built decks, they did subfloor.
Yeah.
Whereas some apprentices these days don't quite get that option.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe not so much Tauranga, but bigger markets, Wellington, Christchurch, Auckland, where you sort of see you would be on a framing job for a year. And I'm like, well, if there's however many standards and you've only done one unit for a year.
Also, some of them that are doing group housing,
they'll sit
on there. They'll never do a slab.
Yeah.
They'll never do a timber subfloor. Yeah. They don't do decks.
Yeah.
They stand frames. If they're lucky, they'll work on two or three different claddings. A lot of them don't even put their own joinery in.
Yeah, that's right. They've got installers for those now.
Yeah.
I reckon from what we see, obviously in Auckland stuff, there's so many specialties, but you would probably confidently say regional builders are a lot better than big city guys.
yeah. Within reason.
Maybe across the board, general variety?
I think definitely once, like Tauranga, hey, we're still a city.
Yeah, still a city.
Not quite the size of Auckland, but once you get into your central North Island, you're not going to have your specialties like you are up north.
Yeah, absolutely. So finish your apprenticeship. After that, did you have another boss after that, or was it straight?
Yeah, I did. I had another boss. I did a little bit of stuff just mucking around for myself, and then I went and worked for another company for a couple of years.
Cool. What was their main sort of work?
Sort of quite high end, but a bit of everything. They didn't, mostly quite big stuff.
Yeah.
Not really your small bathroom or deck or something like that.
Yeah.
They were doing new builds and renovations.
Yeah, sweet.
So they're quite high end sort of stuff.
I mean, you're a guy that loves a coffee. You would say on smaller jobs, you'll see different coffee shops, different job one a month, or what did you prefer? Did you like that?
I quite like being on site for a while.
Yeah, cool.
You get to know your coffee. Especially if you get a good one. There's nothing worse than finishing that job.
Some people say there's beautiful coffee shops overseas. I'd beg to differ, man. I think there's a few good ones floating around here.
100%.
So you're with that boss for how long? And were you like a foreman at that stage? Were you running a project or just a qualified chippy?
No, I was just a qualified chippy.
Yeah.
And that's probably... When I was saying to you earlier that we ran out of work, so I had to then start finding my own work.
Yeah.
We're still coming off the bat of, say, your 08 2009, even I think that was 2013, people were still,
there
was work, but not.
Do you reckon it was more the, obviously, higher end, more guys with money, they were the ones still doing stuff at that time?
Some of them got fairly smashed over too, though, eh?
Highly leveraged for risk, probably, the ones, money in stock markets.
Some, depending on what they did, where they had their money sitting.
Okay.
But I mean, a lot of it was just, say, your workflow, probably. Mm. They had work, but all it took was one or two jobs to either get held up or fall over, and then, shit, we've got a hole.
Yeah.
So, I wasn't a foreman. I was just a qualified chippy.
Sweet.
Working away under someone.
In a team, yeah, nice.
And then all of a sudden, we ran out of work, so I had to have another 3 weeks off just after Christmas.
Niggly.
Which I couldn't afford, so I had to go start finding my own stuff.
Back to fencing?
No.
Or did you go do a bit of rugby sevens in Hawke's Bay?
No. I managed to find work.
Nice.
My very first little bit of a stint was just fully landscaping a place. And
cool.
That was sort of about a month's work or something.
Yeah.
And then I did a small extension.
Yeah.
It was probably adding on about 60, 70 square metres.
How were you getting these little jobs?
Just word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Just
family, friends, rugby contacts.
Yeah, rugby
people
contacts.
People that you knew.
People I knew. Yeah.
At the pub on a Friday night.
Yeah, I don't drink too much.
Okay, back then.
But then another guy I knew offered me a new build.
Sweet.
And that was my sort of first
starting point.
Yeah.
Would you say after you got that new build, was it semi smooth sailing on work front from there?
No, I was still chipping away with the labour only stuff.
Okay, cool.
At that stage.
Yeah.
Still trying to find my unicorn job.
Yeah, nice.
You know, full contract.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were doing the labour-only stuff, that was for another company that you were doing?
No, it was for homeowners.
For homeowners.
It was for homeowners. They were providing their own sub-trades and their own materials.
Yeah.
I was running the first job, he ran them. He had a lot of knowledge within the building industry.
Yeah.
The second one, I actually ran a lot of those sub-trades at my cost.
Yeah, yeah.
When you look back at it, you're like, Jesus.
Yeah, man, that's dangerous.
But at the time, I suppose you're just doing what you had to do.
To make it work.
To float.
Yeah. So you didn't have any foreman experience on that, and then you kind of jumped straight into managing your own jobs.
Yep.
Doing these labour-only contracts is quite a bit of management in that. Some people would say there isn't.
Sink or swim, man.
Yeah.
Sink or swim, man.
There must have been a lesson learnt there. Surely something went wrong. Give me a...
100%. Like, running the jobs wasn't the problem. For me, when I first started out, man, I didn't even know what I was supposed to be charging. I didn't know what PMGs were. I knew nothing. I had one job, but this was, like, most of my jobs weren't going too bad.
Okay.
I priced them myself. Again, I didn't have a lot of overheads that way.
Yeah,
so my overheads were low. I wasn't back costing.
Mm.
So my way of telling if I had money in the bank was
check
if
the
my
bank account.
Account was going up.
Yeah, man.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, it was, when I look back at it, I cringe, man. But at the time, I was doing what I suppose the only thing I did know was work hard, put my head down, chew the fat, work hard.
Yeah.
And I did some massive hours.
Yeah, sweet, man.
But then, I did have a job go wrong. I priced it all myself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I used the Carter's Takeoff, which I used to do.
Yeah.
No QS, I did it all myself.
Yeah.
And I think we had 6 weeks to go with three guys on site.
Yeah.
And I was out of budget.
Oh man.
It wasn't very nice.
I don't want to work out the hourly rate of cost there, but
It wasn't a very nice feeling.
Yeah.
We had another job at the time which was a reclad and that went really well.
Cool.
And
that kind
probably of... lucky that propped us up financially.
So you would have would you have been in that position, what's that saying? Rob Peter to pay Paul, took a deposit off that. Floated the remainder of that job?
No, not quite, because the first 2 years of business, I think I was paying myself about $600 a week.
Okay.
I worked 6 days a week, virtually every week of the year.
Yeah,
My main thing with starting out was I had this big thing about being a statistic. I didn't want to be a statistic of a company that
failed. Failed company, one in liquidation.
Yeah, 100%. Mm. I looked into it when I first started out and I was like, oh my God, I was shitting myself.
That's a chip on your shoulder, eh?
Yeah, so I just ground away, man.
Nice.
And so I paid myself very minimal. My van was this piece of shit.
Beauty.
Hiace that every time it rained, my knee got wet.
Oh, bro.
You
didn't take that one to Europe for the van tour, did
no,
you?
No, not no, that no, one. No, didn't ship that no, over. That van tour, that van didn't make it. that lasted about 2 weeks, I think, that van, and it blew up.
Hell. Tough week.
But nah, so it was, I had money behind me because cool. I just ground away. I took minimal out of the company. I had low overheads.
Yep.
I didn't go out and buy a big flash Ranger to begin with. I just grafted away at what I had.
You see a lot of that, eh? Big, Ford Rangers raised up, everything.
Yep.
So at that stage, you would have had 2 to 3 guys by the sounds of it?
Yeah, so the first year was just myself.
Cool.
I chipped away, I built that new build. I had a backpacker come and help me with some of the heavier stuff.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that first year was fully just me.
Yeah.
The next year, one of my best mates was moving back from Melbourne.
Sweet.
And he wanted to build an apprenticeship. So he started on with me.
Cool.
And we chipped away for maybe another year, and then I took on an apprentice.
Cool.
And we just slowly grew like that. So this, by the time I hit that job, that went fairly bad.
Yeah.
That was maybe 4 years into business.
Yeah. When you priced that first job yourself that went bad, you probably spent half an hour pricing it. How much time do you spend now?
I put a bit more into it than half an hour, but probably I might have been...
Half a day?
Yeah, maybe half a day.
Yeah.
Looking into it. But I didn't have the systems that a QS has.
Yeah.
And that's... They're trained, man. They're trained in that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what they do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Once that went wrong, I knew that I had to do something... to change.
So what? How did you price your next job straight away from there?
I started getting in touch with Quantity Surveyors.
Yeah, nice.
I started working with Quantity Surveyors.
Yeah. Have you worked with a QS on every job since then? Or do you just sort of...
Most jobs.
Yeah,
yeah, cool. Most jobs. Not every job, but most jobs.
Okay.
Especially the bigger ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't really do too much smaller stuff now.
Yeah.
After that, I was still doing, say, your bathroom renovation and things like that. And I would price the smaller ones. But the bigger jobs, you're anything over 100,000 plus.
You get someone to do
bring someone in to do it. Yep.
When you pay the QS to do that, you obviously add those fees into your business structure, into the price proposal for the client.
Yep.
When you get a lead, like, how do you sort of manage a new lead from the get-go? Phone call, what's the process at Davies Construction when you get a phone call to sign contract?
So this is what I've found. So since I've come straight off the tools, I've been off the tools now for about nearly 7 years. This is the biggest hurricane, is trying to wean out the tie kickers.
Yeah, for sure, man.
I went through a stage of, especially as your company grows, you think, jeepers, I need more work. So you just go and look at everything.
Yeah.
And
you can't do it.
Nah. So the main thing I'm trying to look for is where they are in their journey.
Yeah.
You don't always get it right.
Yeah.
Sometimes you muck it up, and sometimes you think, man, this dude's a tie kicker, but something tells you to go and see them.
Have a crack at it,
And you do, and you get their job, and you're like, shit, I'm glad I sort of followed my gut on that one.
Yeah.
But when that lead comes in, I'm trying to wean out where they are in their journey.
Yeah.
So through our website, we try and do that with some of the questions that we ask them.
Cool. So it's not just a name and phone number. What kind of things are they filling out?
They're filling out a form to say, hey, where are they in their journey?
Okay, cool.
Are they going to build within the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah.
Do they have plans?
Yeah.
That type of thing.
Okay, cool. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
If they don't have plans, then I'm trying to say to them, hey, I can give you designers. If you've got designers, perfect. We can build it. Otherwise, I can put you onto designers.
Yeah.
Start getting the design done, and then we can start giving you prices.
Cool. Would you say the majority of the clients that come to you now are, say, like we call them warm clients or word of mouth clients? And do you feel like because of that, your sales or weaning out process is a little bit less now? They're coming to you for you?
Yeah. Well, I can start to see where they are in their journey.
Yeah.
Because of our marketing, I suppose, you could say that they're a bit warmer.
Mm.
They know a bit more about us. A lot of the time, they've been put on to us by someone else we've built for previously.
Yeah.
So, okay, they already know a bit about us. They then go into our website. They can then see our team.
Cool.
A bit about our team. Possibly who's going to be on their sites.
Yeah, for sure.
Tells
a bit of a story.
Yeah, tells a story.
Paint a picture, what it's going to look like. Who's the brains behind the marketing stuff at Davies?
So we've got a marketing company called Wisp.
Based here?
Yeah, based here.
They've been with you for a while?
So I've been working with them now for about the last, getting close to a year now. Okay. We were with an Australian-based company.
Yeah. How did that work?
It was good because it built our brand to, but then we got to a stage where I don't think we could grow much more with them.
Oh, I see.
So we wanted to bring it back home.
Yeah,
and,
cool.
The company we deal with now is awesome.
Yeah, nice.
So they come out onto our sites, they interview us.
Yeah.
They talk to the boys, see what they're doing, they take photos, they take drone shots.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, it looks good. Are they the ones that gave you the inspiration for the Instagram work?
We had Instagram stuff going on beforehand, but they fully run the page now, and I think they've just given it probably a different perspective on it all, and they push it probably a bit differently to how, because we were doing a lot of the Instagram stuff. Whereas some of the stuff that the Australian company were doing was a lot more generic and
probably not as tailored, not as personal.
Not at all.
Yeah. Okay. Do you get many like direct jobs through Instagram, or do you find it's just like a online hub, bit of a CV, this is what we do?
So, I mean, yeah.
Because it's important. I think Instagram is so important.
It's 100%. It's important. Whether it comes directly from there or not, I don't know. And that's something maybe I should track a bit more to see what the numbers are. But it does a few things. One, your brand recognition.
Yeah.
Okay, people like, you know what it's like. They're like a stalker, eh?
100%.
When someone logs into your stuff, next minute, holy shit, David Construction's attacking me.
Yeah.
Every time you open your Instagram and you just want to see something about...
Troy's mug pops up, man. And then I'm having dreams about you.
Talking a bit of guff. So absolutely, you can direct market people and it's stuff that I don't know a lot about.
Yeah,
but that's where the marketing company I use, they're good.
Pay a specialist to do a special task, man. That's the one.
100%.
So we talk about specializing, getting guys that are good, like your internal management structure at Davey Construction. Yeah. Obviously, we'll call you the head honcho. How does it work from there?
Tell my wife.
Yeah. Well, we can edit that out. So what's does she have much of a role in the business? Mm. You obviously do X amount, and then just run me through. Just want to know, you know, foremen, apprentices, builders, how it works day to day.
So. Yeah, me and Briar, we've been working, so ever since my son was born, shit, it's coming up 7 years now, she's been working for us. So her background is a chartered accountant.
Cool.
So with her background and me as the builder, I've learned a lot of lessons when it comes to financials and budgeting and just even back costing, following jobs.
Mm.
She's got a massive role within the company.
That's good.
I had a lot of hats on the last, ever since I've been off the tools, you know. I was a business owner. I was finding our work.
Sales, marketing.
Just
running the boys, operations. Yeah.
So then slowly, year by year, in the last few years, we've split out. So we've brought in marketers.
Cool.
We've brought one of the boys off the tools, Matt, who's come into a project management role.
Yeah.
We're running that. I'm working closely with Matt. Bri's doing all the numbers. She's doing all the invoice side of it. She's helping me with budgets and stuff when it comes into figuring out where jobs are sitting as they're progressing through.
Yeah.
And then we've got our foreman on site.
Cool.
Who are running those sites. They're ordering materials. They're ordering subbies.
Yeah.
Matt's then going there. He's doing health and safety.
Cool.
He's pretty much following what they're doing to make sure they're not missing anything. If they need a hand from him in the way of ordering stuff, just second guessing themselves, then he's there as support.
How does it, like, was there a point or a position where you noticed one key hire that was a huge game changer for you? From my personal experience, I remember the biggest change I had was going from me managing one person to having one person managing four, because then that freed me up to do sales. Was there one key hire that really changed the game from you, whether it was your first qualified builder or likes of Matt?
I mean, there's been a couple, and I suppose each stage of your business, I've gone from just a one-man band to, jeepers, by next week there'll be 17 of us in the company.
And that's so a career high?
That will be a career
Congratulations.
High. Congratulations. Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
So, I mean, definitely Briar coming into that role,
cool.
say 7 years ago, instead of going back to work.
Yeah.
She's a chartered accountant, but working at the bank at the time. So
yeah.
instead of going back there, she came on board with us. That was massive. Matt coming into that role,
yeah.
that's been massive.
Okay.
The other one is the foremen that are running the sites.
Yeah.
Every time I take a new foreman on, it's a bit nerve-wracking at times.
I was going to say, do you lose sleep or are you, during the nah. day, are you like...
Nah, I wouldn't yeah. say I lose sleep on it.
Yeah.
But it's just... You're a bit anxious because yeah. you're like, jeepers, what's this guy going to be like? Because at the end of the day, they're running the face of your company.
Yeah, man.
And that's where I'm so lucky with the guys that I've got in there.
Yeah.
Is they're good with people.
Mm.
They're good with people. They're good with the boys. They're motivated. They're organized.
Yeah. When you go through your hiring process, is there anything you kind of look out for? What do you see as like a red flag and a green flag? Do you have certain things?
Yeah, definitely. One of them's jumping around. Like I get CVs come through from people
yeah.
and quite often a year, 6 months, a year, they don't last long yeah. in jobs. That's definitely a red flag for me.
Yeah, fair.
I want someone that's going to come on board and they're going to stay with us
yeah.
for quite a while, you know, and
yeah.
we're going to be able to build a team around them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that goes from apprentice right up to foreman.
Foreman, yeah.
So that's definitely one thing I'm looking for.
Cool.
And are they people? Are they people person?
Yeah.
Can they work with people?
Yeah.
Are they going to piss people off?
Yeah. Will they work in your team? Will the clients
yep.
like them?
Yep.
Yeah.
It only takes one bad apple, man.
Sink a ship.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And a green flag? Is there something you can spot or look for?
Like we were talking about before, like you're looking for, you want people that are motivated.
Mm.
So if they've got something in their past where they've had to actually put their mind to something and
yep.
graft away to,
yeah,
to be able to achieve something,
yep.
to me, that is a green flag straight away because mm. like, okay, this dude, he actually knows how to work for it.
Yeah,
he's not just going to turn up and think everything's going to be handed to him.
Yeah, for sure.
He's not afraid of a bit of graft.
Yeah.
Because there's some shit jobs in building.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Digging fucking pile foundations under a shitty house for 2 days.
Yeah, trying to get concrete in.
Yeah, that's not fun, man. I love talking about the hiring process because I feel like so much stuff we get is, how do I go out on my own? How do I get more money? And I'm like, well, if you become really good at just one thing or just get real good at your job, you'll probably make more money. So, yeah.
Chip away. It takes time, eh?
Yeah, like, absolutely.
I've seen some guys, they start out and, man, they got 5 guys within the first year. And, I take my hat off to them because,
yeah.
man, there's no way I could do that. I would have shat myself.
Yeah, that's
tough.
It was
scary getting my first full-time. And luckily, he's one of my best mates. So.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I see you've got an ebook on your website. What was your inspirations behind doing that? Did someone push you to it? Or did you just want to put some knowledge out there?
Yeah, so I'd like to say it was my idea.
Okay,
but,
cool.
no, it was, I did a mentorship with a guy that helped me to actually learn to run a business.
Yeah.
Because like I said at the start, man, I knew nothing.
Jumped in, eh?
Yeah. So I had a business coach for quite a while, and that was one thing that they were pushing.
Yeah, cool.
But the whole thing around it is just trying to give someone a bit of guidance or, a bit of insight. These are the things, have you thought about? Just so they can, when they're trying to select a builder, they've got some knowledge of what they're actually wanting because some clients don't really know what they're looking for.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like now, I feel like there is a lot of information out there for guys trying to do it. Maybe, 5-10 years ago, there was minimal information on how do you sell, how do you market, how do you invoice, what's zero, you know?
There's
how do you...
a lot more, 100%. There wasn't a lot around when I started.
No.
So I was talking to people and I was just trying to learn like that.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough. What do you see sort of market stuff doing in the next 12 months? And on the back of that question, what's your pipeline like for the next 12 to 24 months or 12 months?
It's interesting. I think this is going to be an interesting
year, man. I have to ask.
Yeah, 100%. And it's a hard one because our pipeline looks good. We've got, we've just taken on 3 more guys.
Yeah,
like I say, we're at a record high of employees.
Cool.
Not just employees, team members, I call them. They're our team. They almost become family, you know?
You do a lot of stuff
with them. But we're at an all-time high, whereas you hear of some companies now that are really struggling.
Mm.
And some of that might just be, hey, a job or two's tipped over. or they just don't have anything coming through the pipeline.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. It's a hard one to gauge because I still think there's a bit of hurt out there.
Yeah, for sure.
Inflation's still sitting too high. Yeah. So people are still going to be a little bit wary. Interest rates are high. Whereas some people, they've had their designs done for the last year and a half, 2 years. So they're still pushing on. And that's some of the jobs that we're just starting.
Yeah.
We are still getting new leads coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, so, for us, it's going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
Unless one or two of those start dropping off.
Yeah. At what stage do you go, at what stage do you know the job is fully gone ahead? Like, do you know a signature on a contract is go? Or are you deposit?
Once I've got a deposit in my account. I've had jobs fall over.
Yeah, man.
Right up to signing stage.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would you say... you must have one standout crazy experience, crazy client, job gone wrong, something's happened, pulled out the night before a job starts.
Yeah.
Got something?
We had a job go wrong. It didn't end up in court, but it could have. I don't think she was quite correct in some of the stuff she was saying, but then she probably didn't think I was quite correct in what we were saying. But at the end... we came to a negotiation.
Yeah, it's good.
We got in and resolved what she wasn't happy with.
Yeah.
And to the point where we actually finished it.
Nice.
Quite sort of happy with each other, which was nice because there was a point there I was like, "Holy, where's this going to go?"
Yeah.
And it was a turning point where I was like, man, what am I doing? Do I actually want to be doing this? I wasn't sleeping very well. It wasn't very nice.
Yeah, but it's tough.
We got through it. Sometimes it's not nice to say, but sometimes you've just got to bite your lip just do the job. And the standard in which my guy did a couple of things wasn't flash.
Yeah.
And so we had to go back in there and we had to fix it. But some of the stuff that she was pushing, I didn't think she was correct either.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we need to do a product that we're happy with and our clients are happy with, or else she's going to, they're not going to be happy and they're not going to push your name somewhere.
So. Yeah. Some of those can be, you kind of got to use the theory of short-term sacrifice, long-term gain. Like, we're not going to make money here.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we've got 2 weeks left. Let's just nut it out and do it. Might cost the company $1,000.
Yeah.
$2,000, but we're going to get it done.
100%. Yeah. And when I look back on that job now, I look at it and I'm like, shit, I probably should have talked to her more.
Yeah.
When I knew it was starting to go a little bit pear-shaped, I actually should have talked to her a little bit more, communicated.
Yeah.
And got that sorted and nipped in the butt early.
Yeah, instead of letting.
Because most jobs have run so smoothly, I just never anticipated one of our jobs going like that.
Yeah, for sure.
But I learned a big lesson.
Yeah.
And hence the reason I've really brought one of my guys into project management, because I need that person communicating with the owners, and I just didn't have the time to do it.
Yeah.
So that's been a massive game changer, and good learning curve.
Yeah, for sure.
Keep everyone happy. So.
Yeah, I think you can always take a good out of a bad,
100%.
Would there be a couple of key things that you do within your business to keep clients happy? Like, do you do a weekly or a fortnightly on-site meeting? Do you do a weekly email, or do you do there?
So every week we do an email through to say where that job's sitting, what's coming up, what to expect.
Sweet.
Depending on where they're at, we need to make sure we're starting to get paint colours all sorted.
Yep.
If they're not working with interior designers, then we need tile selections, we need floor selections. So just giving them plenty of notice and not just dropping the hammer on them to say, on a Friday afternoon, say, Monday we need paint colours.
Yeah. Get so busy Saturday, Sunday.
It's just trying to communicate more.
Yeah.
And that's where Matt in that role is bloody good.
Yeah.
He keeps that point of contact with the owners. They know what's happening.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to have regular budget catch-ups to where those jobs are sitting as well.
Cool. So. Talking on budget stuff, you were saying earlier, pre-COVID you're doing a lot of fixed price. Charge up now.
All charge up now. Every now and again we get a client that the bank says that they have to have a fixed price.
Cool.
And we'll fix price stuff, but for me personally, I think I just think it's fairer to go charge up. As long as you've got a team that puts their head down, they work hard, you've got we've got a system, well, we've got systems we follow, we've got schedules we follow.
Yeah.
And owners tracking that from the background, we're having regular catch-ups. They can come on site and see what we're doing.
Yeah.
I just think that that's the fairest way to do it, open book.
Yeah, fair start. I mean, if it works for your business and you're still here, man, that's the dream.
Yeah.
What's the hardest sub-trade to get here in the Mount Maunganui? Who's scarce?
Brickies. We went through a stage a while ago where brickies were
flying them in.
They were really hard to get, eh?
Yeah. Have you got one now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, bricky blocky that we
were with. Nice.
So. Yeah. But yeah, they got really tough.
Yeah.
Definitely after COVID for some reason.
Yeah, I think what I've seen as well, the rates in Wellington for brickies went through the roof.
Yeah.
And Queenstown. I think on average we're sitting maybe 350 to 450 a square, and then I was seeing 550 to 650.
All of a sudden, they just become an endangered species.
Gone nuts, eh? Yeah. One thing I got to ask with all the insurance work that went on at the start of the year, we used to do all our estimating on for plaster and paint, sort of around, depending on job size, anywhere from 35 to 55 bucks a square. We see now with small job fees, it's like 700 bucks minimum for a plaster.
Do you get them in?
Yeah, I don't know. We see that for little patch repairs. Huge cost.
I suppose, and again, it depends where in the country they live.
Yeah, for
sure. I can understand that because, say, a plasterer, they're coming in 3 to 4 times.
It's a few visits, man.
You know,
cost of fuel.
Especially if they're in Auckland.
Yeah.
I know what your guys' traffic's like.
Yes.
But even Tauranga's getting bad now.
Yeah. It's
if they're coming from the other side
of
Tauranga, even Mount to Omakaroa now.
That's 40 minutes, 35 minutes?
40 if you're going to right.
Yeah, sweet. And most sub-trades in Tauranga, what's the easiest one to find?
The easiest? I mean, your plumbers, your sparkies.
Yeah.
But I'm loyal.
You've got good guys.
Yeah. I stick with the same guys every job.
Yeah, sweet, man. Cool. Couple lifestyle questions. What do you do on the weekends, mate? You're a family man?
Family man. Both me and my partner, we love our fishing.
Nice.
So we do a lot of fishing.
Do you do any competitions?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
We just had our son in the Whakatane kids tournament.
Yeah, how did he go?
Mate, he went well.
Learned from his old man, eh?
6-year-old, 2 rods. I'd say more as popper.
As popper?
Yeah,
okay.
I quite like my fishing, but...
Nice.
I'm probably more of a fishing Gavin, as some of my mates call it.
Nice.
But no, I'm not as bad as some of them, actually.
Yeah.
But no, fishing and, I love my sport.
Yeah. Do you still follow rugby?
I still follow it.
Yeah.
I keep away, though. I still get itchy feet, believe it or not. I haven't played for a long time.
You don't play any club rugby now?
No.
Wouldn't dabble back in?
I did when I came back from England.
Yeah.
But when I started the company, I stopped playing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. No, good as gold. Rightio, mate. I think we're all done here. Good bit of business questions, bit of lifestyle. Thank you very much for jumping on.
Perfect.
Much appreciated.
Thank you guys for coming down.
Cheers, bro.
Awesome,
legend.
Man.
Thank you.